Welcome to Hey Julie at julieland.com. I'm Ruby Lester, and I'm sitting in for Julie Ashton because her birthday was Friday, and she is probably somewhere hungover naked right now. And today, our guest is Emily Marilyn.
Hello, Ruby.
And Emily, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I grew up in Riverside, California, about an hour outside of Los Angeles. From the moment the first thing I can remember from my childhood is the word fetish. I have always been obsessed with anything fetishy, like rubber, boots, whatever. Wonder Woman,
really?
Watching Wonder Woman on television. So even at the age of like 3, 4, 5, I always have like, I can remember, you know, like the high heels or the boots that I would see women wearing. That has, I've brought that into my adulthood and, you know, and into my career.
I have seen your dungeon.
Yes.
Downstairs in your room,
which is where you're sleeping right now.
That's where I'm sleeping. Yes, because Emily has this huge dungeon downstairs with boots and shoes everywhere.
There's a huge collection of high heels.
How many pairs do you think you have?
Well, it was 300, but lately I've been auctioning a lot of my worn heels.
I thought it was like 2,000. I'm surrounded by shoes.
I wish it was 2,000.
And whips and chains. And there's ball gags everywhere too.
I don't wear them all. You know, some of them are just for the shelf. Others are just for the bed.
And there's ball gags all around the bed.
There's ball gags. There's boots. I am like.
So do you, Emily, and I, you know, last.
I mean, I
found some gas masks.
Oh, yeah. I got some gas masks.
So Emily has a story, and I think, you know, she told me about this once before, and I would like everybody to hear the story about how Emily used to masturbate with gas masks all by herself. It's a very interesting story, and I think everybody should hear it. Go for it.
Oh yeah, well, you know, I'm not really sure what my parents thought I was doing behind my locked door in my bedroom. But I got this like fascination with gas masks starting at about like 12, 13 years old, and I would put a gas mask on and I would start to like play with myself. And the gas mask that I would use is like this fireman's gas mask, and I was able to like click like the breathing tube like to the right, and it would totally cut off my breathing. And right when I feel like I was gonna pass out from like hyperventilating because I couldn't get any air in, I would come. And at that time, I haven't squirted lately, but I was kind of a squirter at that time when I was like a little girl.
That is so amazing.
Yes.
Like 13 or 14. I would really like for her to try that to me.
I am serious.
Because I don't think I could do that by myself with a gas mask, because I may forget to breathe.
Well, yeah, you know what though? By that time, you're just so like worked up.
Is there like a little switch where you let the air back in?
Yeah, you let your hand off of it, and the air.
Oh my god, that's so erotic.
You gotta like cup it with your hand.
I wonder what else she has in there. I'll have to go look in.
What did I do? I did it again. What did I do after that? I did it again. And then I got into my feet, and oh my god, I got really into like torturing my feet, and
oh my god,
a whole other story.
Do you have anything in here I could torture her feet with? Because you can really, if you have some kind of whip, or riding crop.
But yes, I've always been obsessed with like fetish and fetishy things and bondage and S&M, sadomasochism. And my website, which you can see me experiencing all sorts of fantasies, is emilymarilyn.com, which is my first and real middle name. Everyone thinks I have a fake stage name, but it's certainly not. So the spelling is EmilyMarilyn. .com.
Okay,
Ruby, which you're on there quite a lot.
I am. We have a lot of candids.
Oh yeah. I got
and
I
so what is
a
your favorite
of her face.
What is your favorite latex to wear? Like what is your favorite
you know,
designer?
There's two aspects of that. There's a fashionable latex, which I love. I wear latex everywhere. I'm in a latex dress right now.
Right
I
now
love
she
wearing
is.
Rubber.
We went to GlamourCon.
We were at GlamourCon.
She's the only one in latex there.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I love. It's boring for me to take to, like, wear, you know, a nice rubber dress, like, at a fetish event, because it's not, like, something that's interesting to other people, because everyone's in it. I want to, like, go out to, like, some bar in Hollywood where everyone's just,
she
like,
made me
in jeans
this.
And t-shirt and whatever, and people are like, what the hell are you wearing? I love that, like, shocking.
That's what
the
they said to me
factor.
When I went with her, and it was because I was wearing latex transparent.
Okay. I have a lot of transparent latex.
I didn't know.
But
I
don't wear that out to, like, you know, because I think I'm going to get
you
in trouble.
Totally.
She wore, Ruby Lester wore
a transparent. Oh, my God. Now this interview's turning,
dress.
It's turning around on me.
Ruby wore a transparent latex.
It was
outfit.
Pink.
It was very nice, though. And I
saw my nipples and everything.
Nipples,
I thought it was quite erotic.
Every guy in that bar was like, oh, my God. Like, their
I got a lot of attention.
Were like, woo. Yeah. There was a lot of
We did great.
That was
we did
a hectic
great.
Night.
You know what? I think that before they saw the transparent, the pink, the nipples through the transparent pink, they got the horse hair that was hanging from the latex skirt. Yeah. Threw them off a little bit, though.
Yeah, I think
it was
an interesting outfit.
I had pony hair all around the bottom of the skirt. It was really great.
So I've been dragging Ruby into my world of wearing rubber at normal places.
Tell us about your sexual, you know, lifestyle, like as far as boys, girls, instruments.
Well, believe it or not, I actually am monogamous, which I never realized up until recently, maybe 2 years ago, because all this time I've been like, polyamorous? Multiple lovers or whatever. But I finally realized like it just does not work for me.
And what kind of guys is...
It just does not work. It makes me
crazy.
Because
you're such a extreme fetish model, what kind of a man does it take to turn you on?
Someone that can
you
take
might
charge.
Really, I mean,
I need a man that
you can't just
charge.
Have like a wimpy guy. It's got to be somebody that's got his own thing going on.
That guy
has
his own
little
thing
identity.
Going on, that does not worry about what I'm doing, because what kind I do, like, I think a lot of guys can be really scared away from what I.
Right, that's what
like,
I'm saying. You gotta have a guy that's not intimidated by you, that can be like, "Hey, bitch, I'm about to tell you what to do."
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
But also,
because I kind of like that too. Maybe a slap here and there too. And sometimes you want to cause a fight just so you get a little slap.
Yeah.
You know,
someone that can like understand and help me explore my fetishes.
Yeah,
I mean, I've explored a lot
and
already.
Like,
but,
so when
you
the
know,
guys that you've
more.
Dated, do you have to, because most of them, I'm assuming, are not into fetish.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, you're right.
So you have to teach them
because
what to
the
do to you.
That
is that interesting for you that you have to teach them? Like, the boyfriend you have now, do you have to show him how to, like, kick your ass, like
in
whip
the,
you or choke you or whatever it is
not,
you're into?
Not where I show him personally, but where I bring him around to someone else. Like, when I brought him around to...
but he's willing
to
learn
Jim Weathers
with the bondage,
and I had Jim Weathers
is
from Bondage Cafe.
Does
teach
it make him nervous, or is he like
at
seem
first,
like he's willing
now,
to learn?
Yeah, uh-huh. Because the difficulty with me being like really heavily into bondage and S&M and fetish is that it makes dating in like the normal dating scene completely impossible. I cannot go down to a bar and find a guy
that's
to take him home. I can't.
And see,
I can't
that's what
do
I
that.
Found interesting about Emily is that
it's impossible for me.
Take our
I'm
bondage.
Way too kinky.
Take the bondage for one. When somebody experienced bondage as you, and then they teach your boyfriend how to do it, and even though he's not experienced, is it just as erotic because he's not experienced?
It makes it more of
a different
personable.
Feeling.
Personal, is that a right word? Personal? Personal! That's right. More of a personal
because
experience rather than like
right.
something that's, Yeah, because
see, like, when Jim Weathers does the bondage, it's so erotic because he's professional and you're just like, oh, my God, I just want him to fuck me,
you
know?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I
but we just can't
that
say
too.
That. We
I
can't
really
say
do.
That because, you know.
I've worked with a lot of people that time
although
Brian
I have emailed
feeling.
Him that.
Where I'm like, I just wish they would just
but
fuck
then
me.
Somebody like your boyfriend who's not professional.
Yeah, it is different. It is
yeah.
different, but it's more personal. And
so then you want to say,
yeah.
fuck me too, right?
Yeah. I like being tied up and fucked. Yes. I do like to be tied up and fucked, but
okay, what about
the whole like experience of just the bondage itself is pleasurable for me.
What about being bondaged with other girls? Because I know me and you had a nice bondage.
Oh
crotch,
yeah,
crotch
Ruby and
face.
I had like a nice. Actually, that was pretty recent.
It was
we got
very
tied,
interesting.
I was
kind of bored, and I started eating you out because I had nothing else to do because my face was literally bondaged to her pussy.
Yeah,
and the guy that bondaged us was very busy trying to figure out his next rope tie, and we were just bored for a while. So how did you find that? Because I don't think that's ever you've experienced that.
No,
part.
That was very nice. And I had my elbows tied together behind my back, and it was really tight. So I had like that pain, but with the pleasure of your tongue on my clit was very nice. Very nice combination. You know, the do I have any positions I like to be tied up more than others?
Emily's really good.
Gosh, you know, I
hogtied.
Yeah,
because her elbows behind her are really good.
You know, that's got to be what it is.
It's
elbows
got her, when her
back,
elbows touch
because
behind
it gives
her.
Me such a helpless and a hopeless feeling.
And
you
her
can't
wrists,
do anything.
The wrists and the elbows need to be tied right behind her. I
there's
think
there's a bondage rigger down in San Diego area named Jay Edwards, and if he's listening, Jay, why don't you give me an email because I really want you to tie me up again. I think you've probably heard from the grapevine that I'm like completely obsessed with your bondage, but yeah. Because he does really good elbow ties.
Who's your favorite? Okay, now as far as other fetishes, like maybe one time we had an experience at Rubber Ball at London with Midori.
Okay.
Because that's a whole different Midori. Kind of. Yeah, Midori is amazing.
Now, that's now what Midori gives us is in bondage. That, and I say us, you guys, because.
Tell us about Midori.
Ruby, Miss Ruby Lester, that I'm sitting here with right now doing the interview, she had never experienced any sort of like masochistic pain play before. And I introduced her to Midori.
Now, Midori is a masochist. Yeah,
she's a sadist. She's a very famous educator in S&M and, you know, adult play and all that stuff. Midori had me on the bed. This is when I introduced Ruby to her. It was amazing.
I was watching. I was just watching.
Midori was... I'm really into foot torture. I don't know why. Even when I'm experiencing it, I don't know why I like it.
Because it looked like really bad. It looked like somebody was doing electric shock therapy to her.
Yeah, she was like sticking... She was sticking toothpicks into my cuticles and my toes and like whacking and my bare feet with like this metal belt. Remember that? That metal
belt?
Yeah,
and for those who don't know, the toothpicks in London are a lot longer than the toothpicks in the U.S.
Yes, they're huge. They're really long.
Really long. They're like an extra half an inch longer.
She's also sticking them in between her toes.
And so I never knew toes could go that far apart.
I was like, Ruby, you got to get over here and experience it. At that time, I had no idea Ruby did not experience any sort of pain play at all.
She thought I was a professional.
And Ruby got up there and Midori's doing all like really heavy, heavy stuff on her.
It felt so good.
And she's just like sitting there like, ah, ah. Well, I'm like, ah.
She stuck this toothpick in my cuticle and my toenail and whirled it around. And I was just like, oh, it was so therapeutic.
In the cuticles? Which to me like totally grosses me out, but she was also sticking it in between the toes.
She swirled it around and looked at me, and I was just like, "I love you.
Yeah,
do more."
She's such a sadist.
She grabbed a whole full hand, a fistful of toothpicks, and started stabbing my arch. And I'm like, and I was just like, "Oh, oh, I love it."
And then I was like, "Oh my gosh, Ruby had no idea she was."
And everybody's looking at me like, "Is this girl even like? Does she even have feelings?"
We left that weekend, that rubber ball weekend in London with our asses completely black.
Oh my God, we have
purple.
To put the pictures on the internet.
Yes, I had a shoot in Switzerland right after that happened, and I had to shoot covering my ass the whole time. That photographer was pissed at me. But you know what? It was worth it, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. So, Emily does get into some fetishes. Although, I haven't seen, you need to do the gas masks again. I haven't seen
All
that.
Right.
Yeah, I need to
I gotta do that for Ruby.
You need to do
that
for me.
That was something I've never done,
and you need
like,
to do it
publicly.
On me.
I've only done it, you know.
Okay, so
like,
let's talk about some of the photographers.
Personally.
Let's talk about Dick. How do you like Dick?
I love working with Dick.
I like Dick, too.
Because you know what? I get really turned on when I work with him.
Just his name turns me on. Yeah, when I see Dick, I just, you know, I'm just thinking, like, I want to take all my clothes off and just stick something in myself. Preferably my finger or Dick.
I've noticed, one thing I've noticed, hey, Ruby, what I've noticed about him, and he likes this whole, like we kind of look like dolls, but it's like a demented doll when our, like, makeup's, like, all smeared.
I know.
Like, kind of like a rape like victim, like, porcelain doll.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
Yeah. We
There's
don't,
something
definitely,
going on there.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it makes me want to fuck myself, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like you said, it makes, you know. So who else do you like to work with besides
Dick?
Oh,
who else do I like? Well, lately I've been working a lot with Christine Kessler out of L.A., Sean McCall in L.A., but over the years I've been known to shoot a lot in Europe because that
there's a different style with European photographers.
There's a completely different style.
I don't know
They're
what it is.
They're more tuned with the fashion aspect of
the fashion
and
the
everything.
Lighting and the and just the backdrops. Everything is just different.
Yeah.
It seems more work.
They pay more attention to the details and the clothes are important. And you know,
and they're crazier though. The photographers are much more. I think they're all on pills.
Yeah, I think they're
all on
be.
Medication.
You know, I like I
either
like
that or it's a language barrier. Maybe we need to be on medication when we go there to shoot with them. Maybe we should fuck them. And then we'll get better pictures. I don't know. Because the last one we did, can we talk about that or no?
No. No.
Next. Okay, tell us more about
hold on a second. You said the difference between
America.
Attention to details. What do you about the Southern California type photographers? What's the difference? I mean,
it's a huge difference.
Well, I think
nastier or is it just
I think that at least in my experience with my modeling and the jobs that I'll get compared the jobs I get compared from LA compared to like London to Paris, LA is more porn oriented.
Yes.
They want to see nudity, they want to see spreads, they want to see pussy and all that. I'm fine with that, but I want to express
pretty.
My fantasy side. I'm very visual and I want to get more into the clothing and
you
want
to be able
like
to have photos that
it,
could be
being
in museums.
A chameleon and changing myself and I tend to do that more over in Europe when I do the shoots over there.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those photos,
they definitely... Because I don't ever do any sort of adult type of shoots in Europe. No porn, no... Hardly any bondage. I've done very few bondage shoots over there. I do mainly fetish fashion shoots. That's how I've been on 25 magazine covers.
And it's all European.
Mainly from the European photographers I work with.
It's amazing. You're right. You're absolutely right. And I agree with you because I have seen the photos, most of all your photos
they're all shot in Europe.
Are shot in Europe are just breathtaking.
Thank you.
Every single one sticks out. You could tell right away.
Yeah,
amazing.
See, you could
look at them and you just see right away that's just so much work went into that. The outfit,
exactly.
The detail, every little
the hair, the shoe.
I mean, everything gets planned. And I've shot with you in Europe before, and the photographers actually take the time to put your outfits together with you.
We went shopping.
We've actually gone shopping with the photographers and put outfits together with shoes, and they have their own shoes, and they have all necklaces and bracelets.
Imagine
and
it
just
with the
right
background,
the nail polish, and glitter, and everything. It's crazy. I agree with you. I do enjoy working there, except they're all crazy.
I don't know. I think we're a little cuckoo too, Ruby.
I think we need to just not leave them cookies anymore. So let's get to the whole industry of modeling and talk about that. What do you think about it? Like, what is the good and the bad of it?
Let's talk about the good part. Well, let's talk about the good, because I don't really want to be negative. I don't want to get all the negative vibes.
Let's talk very little about the bad. We're only going to talk about
good. No, I want to talk
stuff.
About the good. The good part of the industry that I'm in is believe it or not, I have been a fetish model since 1995. And besides stripping, it's the only thing I've ever done. That's the only job I've ever had, is being a fetish model.
Oh my God.
I have stripped here and there, but...
There's a few videos, weren't there?
I
heard there were some videos, Emily. I saw them on the GlamourCon table. What's that about?
I do videos too, but I raise my rate for that,
videos.
So I don't do that many anymore. But
what goes on in these videos?
I've probably done about 300 videos over the years.
Oh my God!
The last 12 years under various names.
Really?
Which will not
AKAs. Oh my God! Do we have to go to GlamourCon and get those?
not GlamourCon, more like BonCon or something like that. But yeah, so the good part for me is being able to, doing what I love. And, here and there I have some ups and downs
what I realize is that you look back on the photos that you've done or the films from, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and you realize how far you've come and how much you've accomplished.
Right.
And it's just nice to look back and say, wow, I did that, and I have that image, and it's going to last forever. And you collaborated with an amazing person and just such, creative people. I love that.
Right.
I agree with you. 'Cause I look at some of your photos and some of the photographer, the outfit, that moment, that picture was taken, that image, it's forever. It's amazing.
Yes.
And it's like sometimes it cannot be redone again.
Yes,
so I think
right.
that is
Thank
the good part
you.
Of the industry. Yeah. I want to fuck Emily right now. Can you take your top off?
I don't know. I think I look pretty good in the rubber.
I don't know. Can we see some nipple?
No.
Just a little bit. Oh, my God.
Is it perky? I don't know.
So I'm going to lick it.
Oh, my God.
Can I just lick it?
Like a little.
I mean, can we hear a lick?
There's no video, though, is there?
But a little lick.
Ah! Oh.
I said I'd lick, but I didn't. I can't help it. Okay. If a girl wanted to get into the industry... Can you give her some advice? Like, what would you tell her? And probably let's just stick with the good stuff.
Okay. Advice in getting into the industry, into adult
into,
in general or into
well,
fetish?
They have to understand that there's
into
different
fetish.
Parts of the industry. So let's
okay,
talk
the,
about the
I've
fetish.
Been lucky because I've had a fan base over the 12 years. Obviously I've mentioned I've gone under various names, but my hardcore fan group knows who I've been all these years. I'm lucky to be able to live off what I do. I live off my website. My website is my bread and butter. But I think now it's a little more difficult because the market's very saturated. There's models coming in all over the place. I think it's important to create the look yourself, instead of waiting for a stylist to do it for you. And create
you have to
something
create
that's
an
unique.
Identity.
Yeah, something that's unique, which is pretty
because
difficult
a lot
to do,
of women,
but be true to yourself. I'm completely true to myself. I model what my obsessions are. I don't do anything I don't like. I go through phases, but I think that's really important.
And a good a lot of models.
I go through some crazy
them.
Phases sometimes, too. If anyone knows of insects, that was my majorly crazy phase.
What was that?
Insects.
Insects.
Yeah. And no, like INSEX.
Oh. I'm like insects. Like,
but anyways, what were you going to say, little bugs?
Well, I was going to say that a lot of women, what they do is, especially at a very young age, they may see a model, like back in the day, it was Betty Page, you know, and a lot of women would say, oh, I want to be a, you know, a fetish model like Betty Page. It was anything, the only woman you could look at that was pretty much fetish.
Right.
But then what you would do is you would say, okay, well, the black hair, the porcelain skin, and the lingerie, stockings, and a whip, but then you have to eventually put your own twist to it and develop your own identity from that, you know, whether you change the hairdo or you do something, you know, like something different that you always incorporate into your outfit that is, you know, still fetishy that you, you know, patterned yourself after, but then you made it your own.
That's right. Yeah. I see
a
lot of,
it's difficult for women to do that.
I see a lot of girls doing burlesque and pinup, which now is obviously really popular. I'll be the first one to say, I know nothing about burlesque. I'm not a pinup model. I have always been obsessed with rubber and
right.
things that are fetish. My
and
thing
you know
is
what?
Fetish. Like,
I have to
I am
say something about
with
this.
Fetish.
Because Emily is total fetish, but I have seen her in burlesque style outfits made out of latex, and that's what I'm saying.
Yes,
it's like
rubber.
She knows nothing
outfits,
about burlesque, but I've seen latex hats on her with huge ostrich feathers and
made
nipple
rubber,
pasties that
rubber.
Are, and that's all burlesque. Themed,
but
yet she made
it's
it
got
her
that
own.
Fetish edge. Yeah. It's got the
it's
fetish
amazing.
Edge. I couldn't walk
that.
Around. I love the I love the pinup style. I love the burlesque. I love it, but it's not me. And I don't feel comfortable walking around because I feel like I'm trying to be something that I'm not. And
yeah,
I think it's that goes back to what I was saying. Being
you have to
very
try
true
different
to yourself,
things.
True to what you're yes,
right.
Oh
and it's
God,
also what's
I
interesting.
Love it. Latex to me is the most sexual material on the planet. I mean, just the touch, the scent, this feel of it. I've got rubber bed at home. I got rubber pillows, which that bed you have that big that
yes.
turns into a rubber bed.
Oh, it does.
Yes. Rubber in lube.
I actually
I'm
had my first
you, oh my
experience with a rubber bed, the VAC bed.
The VAC bed. Yes.
Yeah.
I put Ruby into a VAC bed.
I've never
bed
been in
recently.
One before. Emily.
She was a
and
hooded.
She did the Hitachi on
yeah,
me in
and
there too.
And I vibrated her. I was all hooded in rubber and I vibrated her. That was the first time you had the Hitachi.
Yeah.
The VAC bed, yeah, but this one had the head out.
Yeah, you
she
stick
had
your
a hood
head
on,
through
though.
It.
She
and
had a hood
everything
on,
else is, they suck the air out, so you're completely sealed. And then she took the Hitachi on me.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't expecting
and
at
I
all.
And I couldn't believe it, but Ruby, she doesn't have
a
Hitachi
I'm
a, of her
I'm a
own.
Trooper. I may never do anything, but I'm ready to do it. Except for anything with my butthole. I don't want my butthole touched.
Hey, what are you talking about? I gave you an enema a few weeks
oh,
ago.
Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh, you're right. I forgot about that.
I bent Ruby over after a night of drinking a little bit.
Oh my goodness, what
and,
was it?
Gave her a big.
I didn't want
enema.
To do it, but I kept climbing in the bathtub.
That's
I was like, no.
That's another
one
of my fetishes, by the way. I know some people like really.
Emily
get
has a
out
fetish giving people enemas.
Well, giving, receiving, and pee. I love.
I have
drinking pee.
Yeah.
I know. This really like grosses out like some people, but I don't know. I like it.
I have not peed on Emily.
Oh my
yet.
God, he's so into it. I have.
Oh!
I made Ruby.
She made me pee. His,
I made.
Drink his
I made.
Pee out of his
I
cock.
Made Ruby drink his pee too.
Well, here's the thing. Emily's
she
boyfriend.
Had no idea what I was doing. I think she.
Don't look at me like that, Dick.
And then I put his dick in her mouth, and he was peeing.
Okay, here's the story. Peed, no. I have to tell you the story from the beginning because you know what? She's gonna make it look like I'm some pee sucker. It wasn't even like that. I was completely inebriated, and Emily grabs me and says, we have to go to the bathroom. So I'm thinking, like, great. She's going to do some girl stuff with me, you know? And I'm like, great. You know, I'm all ready. I was about pulling my panties down.
And we're at a club.
And then Eric's in there. Like, her boyfriend's in there, you know? And I'm like, oh, my God, what are they going to do to me, you know? And so then she throws me down on my knees and pulls his pants down, and then she shoves his cock in my mouth. And before I could do it, like, pee was running down my throat.
No way, I was.
And he had to pee a lot. So then she took some of it because I couldn't take anymore. I was running out the corners of my mouth. And then she took a bunch and looked at me and she was like, you know, like, it's your turn. And I was like, I was about to do it, but I couldn't do it anymore. So it went in my eye and my eyelash fell
off.
Eye,
and she had these
he
big
my
eyelashes
eyelash.
On. And then, like, you had these really exaggerated eyelashes
oh
on. And
God.
You only had one on the rest of the night.
I've never been. Yes, he literally, his piss stream was so hard. It was like a hose. He literally pissed my eyelash right off my face.
And we
like
had to like,
my hair.
We had to go back out into the club.
Forehead.
We had to go back into
and
the club.
And then she said, then they were like, let's go back out there. I go, look at me. Are you kidding me? Unless you guys want to pass out a bunch of pills to everybody.
And then,
so they
and then his friend saw us go back there. They thought we were giving him head, but he had to,
I
he
know.
Had to tell him that
they
we're
thought
drinking
he jizzed all over
we're
my
drinking,
face because my eyelash
pee.
Was gone. They're like, Eric, we didn't know that Emily lets you do that with other women. I'm like, I didn't either. But that's okay. We've shared a few candlelight dinners since then.
Yeah.
And everything's good.
And you send him texts every once in a while going, hey, I'm thirsty. Can you help a lady
Yes,
out?
I do. I break his balls now. I do. I like a month will go by and I'll just send him a little text like, God, I'm dying of thirst. My mouth is parched. And then he'll send me one back and say, you know what? I think an eyelash needs to come off.
Yeah. I think I can pee that thing right off.
That was a first for me. Yeah, there's a lot of firsts for me with Emily, but I don't ever know what's going to happen.
I've introduced Ruby to a lot.
We'll go somewhere, and I'm thinking we're going to just do the normal thing, and then something happens, and before you know it, I'm involved, and she knows this. She acts like, oh, I thought Ruby did this before. No, she knows. She knows I haven't. That's why she's like, look at that. Yeah. Look
but
at that, how she's laughing.
That is so exciting about that, to be with.
I would have been fine with the enema bag.
Yeah.
I would have been fine with the enema bag, but it was Kip's enema bag.
Yeah,
it
you
wasn't
know what?
Even
she
yours.
She thought it was my enema bag, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
I didn't have one with me, but I got one at home. We can go back. I'll give you one right now.
Yeah, well, I think we need a redo. I kind of liked it. It cleaned me out. I kind of liked. I like the warm water going up my ass.
Rubber and,
you know what?
Water
I never. I think that's the way to start anal sex. If I could just
have
love
it. I don't know.
Dick,
either.
Let me tell you, if you just get
either.
A stream of warm water going up your ass, I think that could be the beginning of some great anal sex.
Well, then you know what we're talking about.
There you go.
Turn me on, though.
I love the.
Well, I'm just trying to advance to getting dick up my ass. So I thought that was a win. No, I thought that was a nice way to start. I haven't had dick up my ass. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you're listening to Hey Julie at julieland.com, and my guest is Emily Maryland.
From emilymaryland.com.
And Ruby Lester at rubylester.com, and you could see us both at GlamourCon this weekend. We were there today, and you need to come by tomorrow from 12 to 5. We'll be sharing a booth.
I got all my DVDs, and we got all my magazines to sell.
8x10s.
And the 8x10s,
and... And we have some great magnets that Dick made for us.
Well, he made you magnets. I don't got any.
Well, let's wrap it up.
Okay. Okay, so thank you so much for listening to Hey Julie at julieland.com. And Emily?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Now
thank
you
so much
know,
for being here.
How deviant and obscure and odd I am.
Yeah.
And how I'm making Ruby deviant and obscure and...
Yeah. Let's go and drink now.
Okay.
And let's see what's going to happen tonight.
All right.
Let's go.
Mm. Mm. Bye. Mwah.
Should we make out too?
Yeah.
Before we go?
Mm.